Use your church to boldly preach and teach your word. Bless our pastor and his family on their upcoming vacation. Guard them.
You are listening to the Trinity Presbyterian Church podcast from Petaluma, California. Here is this week's sermon.
Keep our pastor strong in your word. Thank you for Reverend H. traveling to us to preach this morning. Bless him now that he would faithfully open your word to us. Help us to listen closely and delight in your word as it is delivered to us this morning. We do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor, thank you for coming to us this morning.
Acts chapter 9. Verse 22 chapters, a very familiar text, pretty much everybody. But Paul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias," and he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has been in a vision, he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come and lay his hands on him, so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings, and to the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." And all who heard him were amazed and said, "Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon his name? And has he now come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priests?" But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. So thus far the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and inspired word. Please have a seat. You know, there's quite a lot here, and I can't go into much details I would like, only because I wish I had the audience before we got that. But there's something I'd like us to take a look, and this idea is this in the grand scheme of things. Is God conquers his enemies. So as you see in that, God conquers his enemies. We all know that. So really the question is, how does he do it? Because he does conquer every single person. Everyone. But in what way does he conquer? Because he can conquer through destruction, eternal damnation, or he can conquer through conversion and make his enemy his friend. I think this morning we see, if you get nothing else out of it, you can see that a mortal enemy of God, who thought he was a friend of God, gets conquered by this God. He's converted such that he truly does become a friend of God, no longer God's enemy. And as a side or a consequence to that is a lot of people think that they're friends of God. And unbeknownst to them, they're actually enemies of God. So that's something to think about. God does conquer. Either conquers through destruction, or he conquers through conversion. And you might wonder then, where do I fit in that? So a key verse, or key verses here is, and falling to the ground, you heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? That idea that a man who thought he was God's friend was actually God's enemy. And he, Paul, said, who are you, Lord? I want you to key in on that. We'll just continue right now. But key in on that kind of response. Who are you, Lord? So, and he said, Jesus said, I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. So God does take control, even of his enemies. So as we take a look at the first two verses then, we can see that Saul, who we now call the apostle, Paul, starts off as an enemy of God, not realizing that he is. In fact, he represents quite a few people in Jesus' time, and even in our time, of those that are religious, that follow a creed, a faith, but it's not the true faith. It's not real faith in the true God, but it's in something that they've ginned up either directly in their minds, or they've inherited from others who've made it up in their minds. So we can see first in the first couple of verses that Saul is an enemy of God. Now, even though he's an enemy of God, like I said earlier, he is someone who thinks he's a friend of God. He has zeal. Now, everybody knows what zeal means, and just as a reminder, zeal is like, well, if you're in some churches, you'll say there's someone that's on fire. And on fire does not mean you get a lighter and you let yourself off, but it means you're really all in. You're excited. You're obnoxious. You go to people and you try to shove the Bible down their throat, or whatever your faith is, you try to shove your faith down their throat.